got a question regarding, say for example you have a child that has an exam result and it's not that, he does an exam at school, a test of some sort, and he gets a poor result. Now he's humbled because he got a very bad result. Now he goes home and his parents, they're expecting something brilliant and they tell him off. But you're telling him off for being humbled because for some reason he didn't do well. So as a child, how do you deal with it? That was my experience. Now on the other side,
as a parent,
I'm thinking, well, how do I deal with it? Because I want the best for my child.
Yes. As a parent, you have to know the strength of your children and not ask more than what they can handle, and help them realize what they can handle so they're not humbled in a bad way. Because when someone gets a bad result, it's not just being humble, it could be being humiliated, meaning his ego is hurt. That's not humility. That's something that hurt your ego. When the ego reacts, this is not humility. Alright? So when we are hurt because we're not the best we could have been, this could be a pride, this could be pride. It's not a humbling experience. I mean, us reacting to this, it's pride. I don't know if you can understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But when we go through falls, the child gave an exam and fail. If when we go through falls, we have to realize that if we did something that was not as it was supposed to be, we have to fix it. I'm saying as kids. So if we could have studied more, we should have done it. But if we did our best and we just didn't pass, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yep. It could be ability or it could be God's will. It's not necessarily ability, because someone could be very smart and start study everything, and then it could be something that it just, you didn't mean not to study, or you didn't mean not to understand, but this is what happened, it happens. Alright? So as a parent, you have to see where your kid stands within this frame and explain to him if it's his fault or not his fault, and if he can fix it, you tell him, look, you can do better, why not doing better? And explain to him that if he doesn't do this, there will be consequences in his life. And if he could not do better, tell him, look, God has something else for you. It's not the end of the world. It's not for you to be sad. It's for you to realize your strength.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just one more just on that. When you're praising a child, I know it's the opposite of humility, but when you're praising a child, at what stage do you stop praising him?
We have to be careful, because we can use it when they feel down or when we need to give them a bit of self-confidence, but not overdoing it, because then they can become proud. So you have to be very careful with this.
Going back, we said that there are some people that they are naturally predisposed to anger, or they get upset.
They are naturally what?
Predisposed, like they have...
To what?
To anger.
Okay.
Or other people, they are predisposed to other, like to humility. But now, because we're talking about anger, but does this mean that God discriminates?
What do you mean?
Because someone might think that, okay, might say for himself, I get angry easily, so that's why, or I grew up in a family that they were all angry,
fighting,
so I have
the excuse.
I have an excuse about it. But if we accept this, this means that God discriminates, and to someone gives them the ability to be humble, and to other people gives them the ability to be angry all the time.
That's the same with everything. Someone might be good in basketball and someone might be terrible. But having gifts does not mean that God did not give you the right tools. These are tools. Now, what matters is your personal effort. We talk about humility. Personal effort towards humility and towards not being upset with others and all these things. If someone can naturally do it, this person, his reward will not be as great as yours if you are a person that gets angry easily. And if you have the gift of not getting angry easily, you will struggle in other things. So it's one thing or another that we have to correct in ourselves. But whoever does not have the gifts naturally and fights for them, this is worth more than if you're naturally a calm person.
Yes.
And by saying this, what does it mean to be calm? Calm doesn't mean the person who does not talk about what he's upset. Because the person who talks about what he's upset can maybe after forget about it, and that's it. But there might be people that they will tell you nothing and hold it for the rest of their lives. This is way worse than the people that they express it, and you know that what you see is what you get. When the others, they will hold it and then they will find you on a weak point and shoot you or tell you a hurtful comment or never forgive you.
So regardless our difficulties, weaknesses or predispositions or maybe our health, so many things that they can make us get angry, this means that it depends on us if we are to control our anger or not.
Yes, because if we want to control it, God will give us the way to. And I told you this before, there was someone who's still alive, and he was a person that he would get upset very easily. And he realized that this was a very big problem because he wanted to follow Christ in his life. So one night, he prayed to the best of his ability, and by the morning he had no anger at all. God had taken it away, which was a miracle, and miracles happen when God wants. But what I'm trying to say is that if it's for our benefit, God will help us towards this direction. If we're not humble enough, then we won't get the help that we ask. And after that, this person that his anger was removed, if you would see him to get upset because he was an abbot, and he's still alive but he's very old and sick, so if he was to get upset with someone, looking like he got upset with someone, it's not because he was upset, it was because he was raising his voice just to let them understand that what they're doing is not right. The same way that sometimes we have to be very firm with our kids, not losing our peace, not being upset with them, but just to teach them that, look, what you're doing is wrong. From the beginning to the end, it's wrong. And that's it. Anything else?
The person realizes mentally that he doesn't have humbleness at all.
Doesn't have humility.
Yes. What's next step?
To ask for some.
Sorry?
To ask for some. But St. Paisius says, as we said before, that humility, you don't go to the supermarket and buy some. Humility, if you ask for it, it will come to you in the least expected way, and it will hit you on the head, and you wish that you never asked for it. So I'll give you an example from his life. When he was a monk at the monastery of Stomio in Epiro, he was going in the holy altar in this church where there was this priest. Because he was a monk, he was sitting in the holy altar and he was having communion, holy communion inside the holy altar. And this one Sunday, the priest, before he went to the church, Saint Paisios asked God to make him humble or something like this. So when the time of the Holy Communion came, the priest told him, go outside to have Holy Communion, you're not worthy to have Holy Communion inside. And Saint Paisios, instead of getting upset or anything, he went outside, he read the communion prayers, and he had Holy Communion, thinking to himself that he was not worthy of anything else. And then the joy that he received from this Holy Communion was unbelievable. Now, what happened was that straight after, the priest, who was a very pious priest, went running to him, fell onto his feet, trying to apologize because he could not understand why he did what he did. And Saint Paisios explained to him, it was not you, it was me that I prayed for humility. And God allowed His grace to be withdrawn from you only for me to receive a lesson. But the priest couldn't understand it. But this is what happened. So if you ask for humility, it will come to you, could come through your family, it could come through your friends, through your work, through your own thoughts, through your own difficulties. And be very gentle with how much you ask, because if you receive as much as you ask, you might not be able to handle it.
And if the person realizes that he's humble, is that already a temptation, a sin?
Haven't heard any humble person saying that I'm humble, but yes. To realize that you're humble, it takes a lot. You have to be one with God before you say that. And the gospel this morning was saying something that it placed in our mind all these days. The gospel this morning said that the disciples, the apostles, they couldn't perform a miracle. And Jesus told them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will tell to this mountain, go from here there, and the mountain will move. So they asked Saint Paisios again once, what does this mean? And he said, it's not that people don't have faith as big as a mustard seed. They have that much faith, but they're not humble enough. So, if with this faith they were to perform miracles, they would be so proud that they would lose their salvation. And that's why these miracles don't happen. Because we don't have the humility. So we don't have, as we said, the foundation for the miracles to happen in our lives.
When you're in confession with your spiritual father, okay, maybe not asking for humility from God, but could you work with your spiritual father? Is that the same thing? Like to ask them, say if you didn't know, like you're angry all the time, but you didn't understand that that's because you're being prideful or whatever, how do you, could you work through your spiritual father to try and grow, if that makes sense? Like,
of course you can.
Like, do you, yeah, and say for instance, if you have children, and do you believe that sometimes you get yourself, like you see a mirror of yourself of what your children's behaviour is and everything like that, and you want better for them, do you think by not saying anything at all and walking away is going to help for the whole family. Like, it's back to weakness.
Yes. Yes, it does make sense. But it's what we said before. Like, if as a parent you have to be firm on few things, you have to be firm, but don't lose your peace. Because when you lose your peace, this is anger. But when you're firm in order to teach them, this is doing your job. If by trying to do this you know that you will get upset, leave it for the moment that you inside you, you will have the peace and the strength to do so. And tell them, remember what happened then? Don't do this again. That's no.
And when they don't want to listen, and when they, because we try and start a fresh day, but at the time you're so angry with what you see or hear, you go the next day and then they're more angry.
The kids are more angry? Or
yeah, no, the kids are more angry because you're bringing up their behaviour again, what you didn't like, and you can see they're not listening.
Just make sure that you're in the right state and pray for them. If they're angry, too bad. They have to listen to what you're saying. We can't just wait for them to relax. It's not... Yes. You take care of your spiritual life, and by doing so, God will provide for them as well. Don't wait for them to calm down. Unless we don't talk about kids, and we talk about like teenagers, where your actions can cause huge reactions, when you might have to wait a little bit until they calm down. But now that they're little, you're the boss. You have to teach them what you have to teach them.
There's a phrase that sends me into panic a little bit, and I only know it in Greek, so I'll say it in Greek. Ο Θεός υπερηφάνης αντιτάσσεται. What are the steps to take out some of these thorns that we have, or I have? So, is it through confession? Is it through fasting? Is it through forcing yourself to pray? Or is it a combination of things? How can you start taking some of these thorns out?
It's everything,
out?
But the fathers of the church, they talk about epignomonική ταπείνωση. So just before that, to say that the phrase that you said is that God, who can translate this in English, goes against the ones that they are proud. Okay, so and you asked what to do in order to get some of these problems out of our system. It goes back to what we said so far. But the fathers of the church, they talk about epignomonική ταπείνωση. That's a Greek thing. And it means to willingly humble ourselves. As we said, now, the humility can happen either by others forcing it to us one way or another, by giving us problems that we have to deal with in a humble way, or by us ourselves trying to humble ourselves. You have to do both, and on top of it, pray to God, and on top of it, try to stay as close to God as possible. But when you have a family, you have to make sure that you put the others above yourself, and this means a lot of things. Even if you just try and do this, you will realize that your life will finish, and still you won't put yourself under everyone in your family. And by doing so, it doesn't mean to act in a humble way. It means that things that you could have done for yourself, you don't do them in order for God to bless them, or in order for you to be closer to God, to be able to pray for them, or for them to understand things. Could be in a financial way, it could be in a psychological way, it could be in a spiritual way, in every aspect. This is extremely difficult and it's endless. It's not an easy thing to do.
Just on what Dimi was saying, it just brought to mind a story that I'd heard in St. Silwan's biography. And he said that when he was young, he did something wrong when he was washing the dishes or something like that, and he'd expected his father to scold him for it. And anyway, 6 months passed and his father had never said anything, and one night his father took him aside and said, "Did you remember that night 6 months ago when he did that thing wrong?" I forget exactly what it was. And he scolded him for it then, and St. Silwan, as a boy, he asked his father, "Well, why didn't you, why has it taken you 6 months to tell me, you know, to scold me?" And his answer was that he was waiting for the right time. And he used to pray after that when he became a monk for the patience and humility of his father, who waited 6 months for the right time to you know, give his son his lesson.
But see, we could say that St. Silwan is who he is because of his father. There are kids that they need more than like 6 months. There are kids that they need quicker than 6 months, because otherwise you'll never correct them. But the meaning behind what you said is that the father did not react. He acted when the time was right, with wisdom, patience, and humility. So what he did was not a reaction, was a proper action. And then that's why St. Silwan could never forget this. Anything else?
Yerota, we talked up until now about pride and humility, and whenever we think about pride and the absence of humility, we always think about people that they always get angry, they are aggressive, they talk back, they always have a word to say, as Yerota Paisio said, as St. Paisio said. But also the fathers of the church talk about the hidden pride. I think probably this is what you were referring to when you said about someone who is sensitive and he is expecting from others to support him, acknowledge that he is sensitive, to feel sorry for him and all these things. First of all, does being sensitive always mean that we have hidden pride? And also, from wherever this sensitivity might come from, how are we to overcome such sensitivities?
How are we what?
To overcome such sensitivities, to get rid of sensitivities that they hold us back in our spiritual life.
Say this again about the sensitivity. How are we?
Even if these sensitivities are not coming from pride, how are we to overcome, to get rid of these sensitivities in order not to hold us back in our spiritual life and in our relationships with the others?
Yes. Sometimes the sensitivities, they are because we want to draw attention. And this could be maybe because no one loved us as a kid. But we have to realize what our life was like. We have to realize that God loves us, and we have to realize that by being sensitive we don't get anything other than being hurt all the time. So the same way that we repent, and repentance means to change our mind, the same way, whatever weaknesses we have to face them. And you do something, does something to you, and you might be sad for a week. And I might tell you, grow up. Now, by telling you grow up, it doesn't mean anything to you if you don't realize that, as we said before, it's not a big deal what happened to you. And to realize that what really matters, as we said before, is the kingdom of God. Once you put the right aim in front of you, which should not be the others paying attention to you, but you going towards God, then the sensitivities, one way or another, they will just start disappearing. you have to find the right way of thinking. And we were reading this with the Brotherhood a couple of nights ago. So someone goes to a spiritual father and he says that I have cancer and I will die. Or he says to him, I was in a monastery and they kicked me out. Or that I sinned in the worst way and he was troubled so much that he couldn't relax. And he sits down, he talks with the elder, and then he starts crying and saying, I don't have any problems anymore. And the elder says, why? You still have a cancer, you will die. They kicked you out of the monastery, you have nowhere to go. You did a huge sin, so nothing changed. But what changed is that this person realizes that his contact with God, his communication with God, cannot be influenced from all these huge things. And once you get this in your mind, once you establish this in your way of thinking, then what sensitivity? Nothing can touch you. Anything else? We said quite a few things. Humility never ends, and the greatest saints, they were saying that they were nothing, and as we said before, they meant it, not because they were nothing, but because when you know how many chances and how many gifts God has given you and what a small percentage you have used out of everything that you have been given, then you realize that you did nothing comparing to someone who have might been in the jungle all his life and he just followed his conscience. So these were a few things to take with us tonight and think for the rest of our lives, because humility never ends. And just to say this and to finish with it, if we don't make a serious effort to humble ourselves, nothing can humble us. They can kill us and we'll still have our ego. Nothing, no one can humble us. No one can take our ego away from us. And God respects that, and even God will not touch it. So it's only ourselves that we can uproot our ego from inside us and work towards becoming a humble person. But if we don't do this, if we don't work towards this direction, we just waste our lives. That was it. Thank you for being here tonight. And now we'll go next door for the dinner. We'll say a prayer and finish. Through the prayers of our Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.